The Undersecretary of Defense for Acquisition Technology and Logistics, Frank Kendall, is setting limits on when to use lowest price technically acceptable procurement strategies. He says there are only four conditions when LPTA is appropriate to use. Bob Lohfeld, CEO of the Lohfeld Consulting Group, former chairman of ACT-IAC, and my guest on Industry Chatter today, and looking at the use of LPTA. Bob, you asked a question in the beginning of this piece, which we have a link at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth, which I think will generate a lot of popping of adult beverages, if it turns out to be true. Is it possible that the Pentagon's actually moving away from LPTA? Thanks for being on, Bob.
Yes, thanks, Francis, and great to be with you. The way I read it, and I've been watching the issue for a lot of years, is that they were overly aggressive in adopting LPTA, and there's been a huge issues with this in industry and in government, and now we're seeing strong signals in writing from Secretary Frank Kendall that it's time to pull back on the use of LPTA in services bids, but clearly he says there's a place for it in the best value continuum. It's just not in professional services and technical services. So the oracle from the top has spoken, and now we're waiting to see the rest of government fall in line and implement the direction given by Secretary Kendall.
And that does beg the question. It's one thing for Secretary Kendall to say it. It's another thing for it actually to trickle down and for it actually to be happening in the execution of bids and contracts.
And that's surely the case. You know, we have to close what we call the execution gap between policy statement and actual execution. But here we call on all of industry to rally and raise the flag and say, let's get in step with the direction. Let's get in step with the policy. And when we see government procurements going astray, we should rally around the policy directives and challenge them and ask them to get back.
I wonder,
back on course.
Oh, I'm sorry. I wonder how much of that is starting a new, and when I say initiative, I don't mean a formal coordinated effort, but how much of it's starting a new initiative on the part of industry, and how much of it is just keep doing what you're doing? Because everybody I talk to inside the Pentagon says, oh, don't worry. We hear from industry all the time about LPTA. We know that it's not very popular. And it sounds like that effort, although it wasn't concerted and wasn't organized, just the anecdotal message is getting through, not just to Secretary Kendall, but up and down the line. I guess the question is when we start to see something done about it.
Yeah, it's almost universal in its opinion that LPTA doesn't belong in this space. And we did a survey at the Association of Proposal Management Professionals and got about an 85% concurrence that LPTA doesn't belong in this market, and that's a survey of government and industry. And then Washington Technology did the same thing, a similar survey in 2014, and got an 89% agreement that it doesn't belong in services procurements, and yet it still pops up. So there's an overwhelming opinion it shouldn't be there, but we just have to go and change the minds of individuals one at a time and move them away from it.
You provide some interesting context in this piece about why LPTA became popular, and you write that LPTA as a source selection process became popular with procurement officials for all the wrong reasons. What were some of those reasons? I think it's instructive to think about them to help everybody avoid them in the future, Bob.
And thank you for mentioning, Francis, because it was an overreaction for sure to budget reductions. But it became popular for reasons that had little to do with the budget. And they were first that it's easy to evaluate proposals under an LPTA scenario. Basically, we see technical acceptability and management acceptability and past performance acceptability as being scored on a pass-fail basis. And it's very hard to fail bidders in this area. So, in effect, all bidders basically pass. And the source selection decision then becomes very easy. The lowest one gets the trophy. And from the loser's perspective, there's essentially nothing to protest because the government evaluated your proposal as being acceptable. That's the best score you can get. And the award goes to the lowest priced offer. So what made them popular is it was easy to evaluate and essentially protest proof with the award going to the cheapest offer. What was unfortunate in this is that these procurements ended up giving the government basically the wrong bidder, the wrong contract award recipient, and obviously ones that they didn't expect to receive. But the idea of being protest proof carried lots of sway with some of the procurement folks.
Bob Lohfeld, CEO of the Lohfeld Consulting Group, and another issue that folks have talked about. I just talked to a former procurement executive in government, not at the Pentagon, last week, and the conversation with him revolved around the idea that just the concept that since the overall goal is risk aversion, LPTA provides an opportunity to never have to worry about not just a protest, not just any of the companies bidding, but anybody else second-guessing what you're doing.
Well, I think they're not at all risk averse with this strategy, and what we see is this sort of industry death spiral on LPTA procurements, where the first time you see one, you say, "Well, we have to bid aggressively," but so does everybody else bid aggressively. So you up the game on the next one, and you say we have to bid more than aggressively, and now we're seeing companies bid these where they have no chance of performing the contract. But yet, if they don't bid at this hugely aggressive posture, they have no chance of winning. So it's better to fight and win and come back another day and ask for relief than to be an honest, what I'll call an honest bidder, and say this is what it really takes to provide the services. So risk, they're embracing risk by going down this path with no ability to or inability to rule out bidders that aren't capable of providing the service.
Well, I wonder, too, if that might be part of what's changing people's minds, Bob, is that now that we're 2, 3, 4 years into this idea, and not just DOD, but other agencies are starting to see what's involved lifecycle-wise, they find out maybe the first year or two they make out, and in the out years, the lifecycle costs become so prohibitive that it really turns out to be anything but a bargain.
We know anecdotally from some agencies that they have said publicly that this past year was a year where they issued more cure letters and more contract terminations than they have ever issued before. And it was because they were hugging the price criteria is the number one criteria in the selection process and driving everybody to hugely aggressive postures on and price bidding.
You outline in this piece, we have a link to your piece at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth, the four conditions that Secretary Kendall laid out. Requirements well-defined, risk of unsuccessful contract performance minimal, price significant factor in source selection, neither value, need, nor willingness to pay for higher performance. And I know that you say in this piece, for technical service and solution bids, you write, none of these four conditions can be met. But I think that fourth one might be the most challenging one for the Department of Defense. Do you think I'm on the right track there, Bob?
I think you are, absolutely. And that fourth condition was that in order to use LPTA, you as a buying organization have to acknowledge that there's no additional value in achieving higher performance on the contract and no willingness to pay for higher performance. And yet every technical services or professional services contract that I've ever seen, there's real value in being able to provide better service and higher value service. And that's that in order to use LPTA, you have to acknowledge that there is none. And Secretary Kendall goes on to give an example of that case when he felt all four criteria were met. And he said a good example is lawn mowing services. And he said the requirement's well-defined to mow the grass. The risk of unsuccessful performance is minimal, so the grass gets a little longer than you'd like. That's sort of minimal. There's no value gained in willing to have a higher performance standard for cutting the grass. And price, well, that's appropriately part of the selection process and an important part. So here, lawn mowing service is a good example of where LPTA belongs, but that's light years away from engineering services and IT services and professional services where we see this LPTA popping up to the detriment of industry.
So that's a great example. We're almost out of time, but I enjoy this conversation, Bob. That's a great example of where it's appropriate for a service. So it's not fair to banish LPTA only to commodity products. What the message I took away from your piece, although I guess I read it between the lines rather than explicitly what you wrote, is that applying LPTA versus best value versus other approaches requires more of an artistic approach than a scientific approach. And it's been popular, at least we'll say, in the last couple of years to apply a more scientific approach. Is that a reasonable thought, do you think?
I think I listened to Secretary Kendall and other topics, and he says the government has too many rules to apply to these procurements. And what we need is to give judgment discretion to the procurement people and let them make good management decisions. And LPTA takes that away, that ability to do a trade-off between non-cost factors and costs does not exist in an LPTA procurement. The non-cost, it's either you pass or you fail. And if you pass, then it's the cheapest one gets the prize. And all management discretion is banned and eroded away by this process.